Monday's Midair was a ferry flight gone wrong. The first production F-35 is delivered to the Air Force, and the fight over the Lightning II's alternate engine continues. This is Aero News. I'm Paul Plack. Thanks for downloading this AeroCast. Here's what's up in aviation for Thursday, May 12th, 2011. New York State Police have identified the victims in a mid-air collision of a Piper Comanche and a Piper Cherokee Monday afternoon. NJ.com cites police sources in reporting that 61-year-old Gary D'Elia of Sussex, New Jersey, had brought 53-year-old William Clark of Matamoras, Pennsylvania, from the Sussex County Airport to Orange County Airport in Montgomery, New York, in D'Elia's 1961 Comanche, to pick up and ferry a 1968 Cherokee recently purchased by a Boonton resident. The two men then departed Orange County in the two planes about 2:40 p.m. Eastern Monday, and according to witnesses, one plane struck a wing of the other. They came down about 200 yards apart in a muddy, wooded area in the Orange County town of Wauwatosa, about 60 miles north of New York City. The NTSB has its investigation underway. The U.S. Air Force has accepted into its fleet the first of a planned 1,763 production model Lockheed Martin F-35 Lightning II fighters. The signing of formal acceptance documents for the jet, known as AF-7, took place at Lockheed Martin's F-35 final assembly plant in Fort Worth, Texas, a week ago today. The jet flew to Edwards Air Force Base in California last Friday to begin its flight test program. F-35s have completed more than 865 flights since flight testing began in late 2006. In addition to AF-7, eight more production model F-35s have rolled out and are being prepped for delivery. The F-35 Lightning II is the most advanced multi-role fighter in the world and can launch its internal weapons while supersonic. The F-35 will replace a number of current fighters for the armed forces of the U.S. and at least nine other countries. The fight continues in Washington over the F-136 engine GE and Rolls-Royce want to sell the Pentagon as a backup to the Pratt & Whitney F-135 now powering the F-35. The chair of the House Armed Services Committee, California Republican Howard Buck McKeon, says he will file legislation that would block the funding needed to allow the U.S. Department of Defense to destroy or discard F-136 engines, which have already been built. Bloomberg reports the congressman's legislation also instructs military officials to hang on to the engines in anticipation of restarting the program at some future date. DOD instructed GE to stop all work on the F-136 engine last month. In response, GE said it will continue work on the engine in the 2012 fiscal year without a government contract or further government funding. A GE spokesman said the F-136 is 80% done, and it would not seek the final 20% of funding from the government. Congressman Mike McIntyre, a North Carolina Democrat, has applauded the decision by GE to continue work on the engine. Quote, "For no cost and no risk to taxpayers, we can keep competition alive on the largest subcomponent of the Joint Strike Fighter and on future programs where we will need it. This unique approach also gives us an unequaled opportunity to usher in changes in the Pentagon's acquisition process. This is good for the American taxpayer, good for competition, and ultimately good for the safety and security of our nation," unquote. Not coincidentally, there is a pork component. The F-136 program would support skilled, high-paying jobs in North Carolina. The Trent 1000 engine, developed for the Boeing 787 Dreamliner by Rolls-Royce, has been granted ETOPS, or Extended Twin Engine Operations approval, by the FAA. That makes the Trent 1000 the first engine for the 787 to be cleared for long overwater routes. The Trent 1000 has been granted 330 minutes ETOPS approval. That allows more direct routings, shorter flight times, and reduced fuel use. Rolls-Royce delivered Trent 1000 engines to Boeing to support 787 Dreamliner test flights for ETOPS approval of the engine aircraft combination. Rolls has also delivered engines for the first All Nippon Airways 787, which is projected to enter passenger service later this year. Up next on ANN, U.S. Airways pilots say we should worry when we fly with them. DOT's three-hour tarmac rule is working well. And what kind of ultralight has this kind of useful load? You're listening to Aero News.
Diamond Aircraft's D-Jet is the ultimate private aircraft for the owner-flown market, offering simplicity of operation, safety, and affordability. Imagine starting the turbine with a simple push of a button. Push the single-lever throttle forward. Monitor your flight on the cutting-edge G1000 with integrated autopilot and enjoy the reliability, performance, smoothness, and quiet of turbine power. Visit Diamond on the web at www.diamondair.com or call 888-359-3222.
We're back to wrap up your Aero Briefing for Thursday, May 12th. I'm Paul Plack. USAPA, the union representing pilots at U.S. Airways, is bringing pressure on airline management to meet its demands through a news release questioning the safety of flying on that airline. The union cites 17 pilot demands it says have been presented to the company's directors, but doesn't list them in its press release. Union President Captain Mike McCleary is calling for the resignation of Paul Morrell, U.S. Airways VP of Safety and Regulatory Compliance. Quote, "Mr. Morrell has repeatedly ignored USAPA's concerns about the safety of our airline and has shown no leadership in remedying potentially catastrophic situations that face our pilots. As such, we have asked the company's leadership and the board of directors to act quickly and decisively to terminate his employment at U.S. Airways," unquote. One issue that is specified by USAPA is management's decision not to participate in an external safety evaluation commissioned by the union. The tactic is reminiscent of one used by the National Air Traffic Controllers Association in the days before the warmer relations now enjoyed between the Controllers Union and the Obama administration. NATCA called a news conference on January 9, 2008 to declare a staffing emergency, telling the public that four Tracons could no longer safely handle their volume, putting passenger aircraft in genuine danger. As of our deadline, there's been no official response from U.S. Airways to USAPA's call for Morrell's resignation. March was the fourth month out of the last six that the nation's airlines reported no tarmac delays of more than 3 hours, according to the U.S. Department of Transportation. A year earlier, in March of 2010, the carriers reported 25 tarmac delays over 3 hours. Carriers also reported a decrease in the rate of canceled flights this March compared to a year earlier. Data submitted to the airlines shows only 16 total tarmac delays of more than 3 hours from May 2010 through March 2011. That's 16 compared to 689 reported for the same period a year earlier, before the DOT's 3-hour stranding rule created potentially heavy fines for the practice. The U.S. DOT proposed on Tuesday to approve an application for antitrust immunity made by Delta Airlines and affiliates of the Virgin Blue Group to operate joint services between the U.S. and Australia. The carriers revised their application after the department tentatively denied an earlier request for immunity last September. In its show cause order, the department tentatively concluded that the revised application demonstrates that the alliance would produce sufficient public benefits to justify a grant of immunity without diminishing competition. The Virgin Blue Group includes V Australia, Virgin Blue, and Pacific Blue Airlines affiliates in both Australia and New Zealand. In the new application, the Virgin Blue Group expanded the scope of the alliance to include service to more passengers. It also said that it had completed an upgrade of its reservation system to ensure compatibility with Delta's system, providing consumers with a more seamless travel network. The carriers also said they'd serve more cities and offer more capacity at the start of their alliance than originally proposed, providing more benefits to consumers at the outset. Interested parties are invited to provide comments. Objections are due in 14 calendar days, and answers to objections are due 7 days later. If the department grants final approval, the carriers must start their joint venture within 18 months. A joint LSA tour put together by several manufacturers in Florida following Sebring in January and repeated in Georgia has proven popular enough that it's headed west. Timed to coincide with the Colorado Pilots Association Rocky Mountain LSA Expo at the Front Range Airport, the companies have scheduled stops in four airports within the state. Bill Canino of Sport Air USA says the tour, quote, "has created an intimate atmosphere for purchasers to see planes without the noise of a show, unquote. Participants include American Legend, Czech Sport Aircraft, Flight Design, GoBosch, RANS, Remos, and Sport Air USA. The tour stops today at the Fort Collins Jet Center, Friday at Centennial Airport, Saturday at Front Range Airport, and Sunday at Meadow Lake Airport. All stops on the tour open to the public at 10 a.m. local time and end with a Q&A session with exhibitors at 6 p.m. And finally today, the U.S. Border Patrol, Homeland Security, and the Cocopah Tribal Police Department in Yuma, Arizona, have announced the arrest of a U.S. citizen in connection with over 500 pounds of marijuana, reportedly dropped from an ultralight aircraft. The pilot did not land, but returned to Mexico after the drop. The bundles of pot were discovered by Border Patrol aircraft in a field near a county highway. About 278 pounds of pot was picked up in the field, and another 261 pounds seized at the suspect's residence. The drugs had an estimated street value of over $250,000. The Yuma Sun reports that the pot was thought to have been dropped in the field from an ultralight aircraft, which reportedly made several trips back and forth from Mexico to Arizona. The craft never landed, and the pilot remains at large. With all due respect to the Yuma Sun, non-aviation media tends to call anything without a cabin an ultralight. I'm guessing the empty weight of the aircraft is more than 254 pounds. That's the latest from Aero News. Remember to check out the ANN special feature. Today, ANN's Jim Campbell talks about ADS-B with Roger Dykeman of Honeywell Aerospace. And if you haven't done it yet, subscribe to our AeroCasts at iPodder, Podcast Alley, or at aero-news.net. I'm Paul Plack. Thanks for listening. Have a clear and unlimited day.